The views expressed on the Making It Matter podcast are that of Gunnar Esiason, Julia Ray, and guests, and not necessarily those of the Boomer Esiason Foundation. Nothing in the Making It Matter podcast should be considered medical advice. Such advice can only be given by a physician who is experienced with cystic fibrosis. The Boomer Esiason Foundation, Gunnar Esiason, Julia Ray, and guests cannot be held responsible for any damage which may result from using the information on this podcast without the permission of your medical doc. You're listening to the Making It Matter podcast with Gunnar Esiason and Julia Ray, presented by the Boomer Esiason Foundation and GunnarEsiason.com.
Hey there, it's Gunnar Esiason. Thanks for joining Julia and I for episode 8 of the Making It Matter podcast series, Cystic Fibrosis Infection Control.
Hi, everyone. Making It Matter is a podcast series with your hosts, Gunnar Esiason, and me, Julia Ray, presented by the Boomer Esiason Foundation and GunnarEsiason.com, highlighting the challenges that people with CF face and the people who face them. This podcast was made possible by an unrestricted educational grant from Novartis to the Boomer Esiason Foundation.
Since Julie and I both have cystic fibrosis, we're remaining compliant with the National Cystic Fibrosis Guidelines regarding patient interaction and cross-infection by recording via Skype. So, this is a little bit of a topical podcast here. Last week, I wrote a blog giving my thoughts on the CNN story of the real-life Fault in Our Stars couple and the idea and the experience of infection control in the cystic fibrosis community. So a little backstory here. If you haven't read my blog or you haven't been up to date with the CNN story, two people with CF, Dalton and Katie Prager, both with cystic fibrosis, met on Facebook, and then eventually ended up getting married, and then tragically passed away last week after a long, long, hard, and brave fight with CF. So Julie and I today want to talk about the dangers that come with infection control, the importance of infection control, and what it should be like when two people with CF actually do develop a relationship, whether that be in Facebook or perhaps even in person, even though that's not recommended.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's important to talk about, too, the fact that this has been a significant change even in our lifetime, Gunnar, because I remember when I was younger, my mom used to host a party for CF patients at Christmas time. And it was an important development in CF research that CF patients should not be in each other's presence for fear of cross-infection and how crucial that is to all of our well-being.
So for those of you who aren't aware, cross-infection is when two people with CF are in the same vicinity physically and they transmit the bacteria that each other harbor to each other. The science is a little different, but it's similar to two people swapping a cold in the subway or something along those lines. But in cystic fibrosis, we're dealing with very, very dangerous bacteria. And a lot of time it's antibiotic resistance bacteria, because for the fact of the matter, a lot of us use antibiotics pretty regularly. I look at myself, I'm on antibiotics pretty much 300 out of 365 days of the year, whether they're oral antibiotics or IV antibiotics. It was pretty interesting to see that the CNN article written about a year ago really highlighted the fact that Dalton and Katie met and got married. I do want to say that I'm not criticizing their decision. I can't put myself in a position to say that they're wrong to do what they did. And in fact, in a lot of ways, it's very honorable what they did. I definitely understand that people with CF, people with CF find that they relate better to other people who have CF. I think I look at Julie and I here. We met probably 7 or 8 months ago. Now we talk pretty much every day, and it's like we've known each other for 15 years. You know, I think there's an inherent relationship that is developed within people who have CF, and it's a very, very difficult thing to overlook, especially when we're talking about the specific example here of Dalton and Katie. My heart goes out to their families, to their friends, the entire CF community, for everyone who was following the story, because it's a very, very sad, a sad thing. But I wrote this blog last week with the intended motivating factor of saying that, you know, I really don't believe that people with CF should meet. Yeah, Julie and I have never actually met in person yet. We've become really, really good friends over the course of the year. And, we've done that out of our own personal safety. Julie and I, you know, we're not sure whether we harbor the same bacteria. Even if we do harbor the same bacteria, obviously we've used antibiotics in a different way over the past, however old we are, you know, 25, 26 years, and that really changes what's going on inside our bodies.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I think it's important to understand the reasons behind staying away from each other. I mean, of course, obviously there is a bond that is unmistakable between those that are fighting CF. And it is one of the hardest aspects, I think, of the illness to say, you know, sorry, you can't even sit and talk face to face with someone else that's going through exactly what you're going through, who really truly knows. And it's also important to realize the reason behind this rule, really, and respect it, because it's in everyone's best interests. And while Katie and Dalton chose to just let love prevail, and while that's something that is admirable in some sense, it's also sad because, unfortunately, their families are now grieving two of their loved ones. So it's a hard topic to discuss, but it's also an important one, because I think in the interest of the CF community, it's important that we don't interact face to face.
You know, it certainly is a difficult topic, especially because I think if you would have asked Dalton or Katie toward, you know, the last few days they had there, if they would have regretted their decision, I can almost guarantee they probably would have said no. You know, they were pretty set in their ways, and I'm sure they had years filled with happiness. That's hard to take away from them, which is why I can't call their decision wrong. It was, you know, it was their decision in the end.
Right.
But the fact of the matter is, I do know there's people out there with CF who do feel the need to meet other people in person, and I really strongly advise against it. I think, first of all, it's a public health concern, because you're promoting the spread of antibiotic resistance bacteria, and that's a very, mm-hmm. very dangerous thing in this day and age, when antibiotics are losing their effectiveness by the day. You know, it seems like we're reading, you know, a new breaking news story about some strain of bacteria somewhere in the world that's just ravaging, you know, somebody's body, or it's spreading, you know, who knows where. These are very scary, real things that we're dealing with in the cystic fibrosis community. You know, you hear about when these health issues or health crises do come about, you know, the people who are sick are really the first ones who are to be impacted, and that unfortunately we fall in that group. So
yeah.
that's a very important thing to recognize moving forward here.
Yeah, and I certainly understand the desire to meet someone face to face. I get it. It's also just so important to understand and fully respect and follow the guidelines, because they're are significant reasons beyond your desire to commiserate really in person with someone else. And luckily we live in a day and age where we can do this. We can Skype, we can connect on Facebook, you know, you can talk to people on any side of the world really with CF, and we're lucky that this is at our fingertips at a time when we really shouldn't be interacting face to face.
Yeah, that's 100% right. You know, I think an unintended consequence of social media has, whether or not it's actually a consequence of that, might not be the right word, but it's connected people with cystic fibrosis. It's connected people around the world, really. And it's now brought upon this challenge of, you know, people are becoming so close with each other, they obviously want to meet away from the computer screen. You know, I think it's very easy to say that it's, you know, a relationship in, you know, from computer to computer is one thing, but actually meeting somebody in person, shaking that person's hand is something entirely different. You know, I think I've received a lot of criticism from writing the blog, and I knew that I would. I know it was a pretty unpopular opinion to take, and I recognize that I'm putting myself out there, and people are allowed to judge what I'm saying, and that's, I think, the great part of the society that we live in. People are allowed to have opinions and express them. And I think that's an important step in ultimately bringing the cystic fibrosis community closer together, which is something that will go a long way towards a cure and awareness for the disease itself.
Yeah. And speaking of awareness for this in particular, is like, my friends can't get over the fact that I can't ever meet you face to face or anyone else with this disease face to face. And it does create a greater need for a cure in their minds, because they think that that's, you know, outrageous that we wouldn't be able to talk face to face. And it is. It's one of the saddest, hardest aspects, I think, of dealing with CF. And because I have a sibling that also fights CF, my brother Will. I know too the struggles and the balance that we have to strike too. Growing up, certainly we never shared a bathroom, but we also were siblings. So it's striking a balance in that sense as well. But when I was hospitalized or vice versa, like we would never visit each other in the hospital. My family, all of us took that very seriously, because it wasn't worth putting the other person at risk. Obviously, hospitals are the most dangerous place for picking up an infection, especially for CF patients. So why put my brother or myself at risk when we're already facing, you know,
a pretty daunting challenge. It's a pretty unique situation, but it's definitely not unheard of. You know, I think siblings with CF, I know quite a few siblings people who have siblings with CF, and the way they manage it is definitely, it's definitely a challenge. I actually have a pretty significant example here. I know a family with CF, with two kids who have CF. They're not really kids anymore. They're grown women now. One of them is actually getting married next week, and I can't go to the wedding out of fear of cross infection. I would never put her in jeopardy on her wedding day. That's something, right. I could not live with that. I couldn't go to her older sister's wedding either. It's a very, hard thing to understand or comprehend internally. But at the same time, I understand. I do know that there are risks involved, and yep. The risk that there's no greater presentation of the risk involved in cross infection when you go into the CF clinic. Every time you go into a CF clinic, depending on where you are, they have different protocols. But a lot of the time, you're either wearing a surgical mask or some form of, heavy duty surgical mask, and sometimes even you're wearing gloves.
Gowns and gloves. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. It's a very different experience being in the clinic than it is being outside in the real world. And those are things that we can't take lightly.
Right. Well, and the guidelines are in place for a reason. Exactly, and I think that's what people have to realize. This isn't and it's not even suggested. It's something that every, doctor, and my doctor has abided by these guidelines religiously and strictly for my entire life. So I think it's important to realize, whether you're a family member or a patient yourself, that these guidelines are in place for your safety and the safety of others. And that's something to take to heart.
Yeah. And the guidelines do work, by my line of work, with the BEF, the Boomer Science Foundation, I do in fact have to come in contact with cystic fibrosis patients. Although those times are few and far between, I do take the ultimate precautions, always masked, always gloved. Those, whether or not you may think those moments are awkward, I'm kind of over it at this point, but I do recognize that it's for my own personal safety and the safety of the other person with CF in the room. Those are very, very important things. I really do go out of my way to make sure that I'm not around other people with CF. As terrible as that is, I think that's a very important thing. And I really can't stress that enough.
Yeah. I mean, as an advocate, I always want to meet with, if a parent's telling me their teenage son or daughter is struggling, the first instinct for me would be to go sit down and talk to them and mentor them in person. But as an advocate on the same token, I cannot promote being face to face with other CF patients when I know that these guidelines are there. So I think it's important to follow them and promote following them if you're ever in a situation where you feel like people are putting themselves at risk and therefore others.
Yeah, I mean, the fact of the matter is that, we do know, science has proved that infections can transfer between one patient to another. And that's, unfortunately, that's exactly what happened in this case. CNN even did mention it. And unfortunately, I think CNN really did romanticize the fact that they almost made it seem heroic in the case of Dalton and Katie. And in a lot of ways, it was really a selfless thing. But at the same time, it's not something that I have an easy time comprehending. The first time I read the article, it really ate away at me. It really gave me a hard time to get. I really had a hard time getting through the article and understanding where they were coming from. I think there's a balance in life between really truly living life, understanding the joys and gift of life that we have here. We only get to live it once. And I'm definitely pro get out there and live your life as best you can. I'm You're never gonna talk to me and take from me that I'm telling you to live inside a bubble, because that's not, I'm not doing that. I'm all about getting out there and creating memories, experiences for yourself. But at the same time, you have to be aware of your surroundings. You have to be aware of what's going on. You have to view the bigger picture. You know, personally, I view myself as having a future. And for someone with cystic fibrosis, I think that's, you know, that's not so, that's a relatively new concept. Mm-hmm. I think we're finally getting to the age in CF where we're seeing people with CF who are having really successful futures. People are, you know, they're starting families. They're making it to the retirement age. They're pretty soon we're going to need cystic fibrosis geriatric units. You know, that's
right.
You know, what happens when someone with CF turns 75 and needs a hip replacement? You know, I think these are things that we're gonna start to sort of experience. And these are really reasons that we have to understand the bigger picture at play here. It's, you can't, if you put yourself in a situation where you can't succeed or you can't, you know, really experience the future, then you're gonna have a problem.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think when CNN came out with this article, even outside of the CF community, I saw a Facebook response that promoted this idea. The right word is romanticize this concept of being together as a couple with cystic fibrosis. And while I can't know and fully understand why they chose to do that, I know, I'm sure it was out of the desire to be loved and to love. And yet on the same level, we have to talk about infection control, because in order to see those geriatric units and hip replacements for CF patients, we need to take this very seriously as a community.
Yeah, I mean, we always say at the Boomer Science Foundation that one day the cure is going to get here. It's a matter of whether or not you're healthy enough to actually enjoy the cure. You know, the cure in a lot of ways is not going to be something that's just going to magically make you better all of a sudden overnight. That's not the way it's going to be, especially at first. It's going to be one of those things where you have to be healthy enough. You have to actually, you know, have a love for life and will to live to get there. And then once the cure does arrive, it's going to be one of those things that really makes your life easier. It's going to make your life easier if you're ready to live. And if you're healthy enough to go through with it, that's the way that this is going to work. And it comes down to compliance and adherence to medications, treatments, and the guidelines that are set forth for cystic fibrosis patients' success and future.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
So with that, that's unfortunately all the time we have for today. So thanks for tuning in for the 8th episode of the Making It Matter podcast series. This is obviously a pretty complex topic, but one that's very, very important. So what you have to do is you have to keep the conversation going. You know, I do read your comments, the good ones and the bad ones. When I say bad ones, ones that criticize me, but, you know, I can take criticism very well, and I'm sure Julia can too. The conversation is incredibly important. It is. It's the only way we're going to work through this. You know, I think Dalton and Katie are really two examples of people who are making it matter. They're out there. They use their story to spread awareness for the disease in more ways than Julie and I can here with our podcast. But I do think that it is important to keep this conversation going. So use the comments, talk to each other. I know there's a lot of time there's keyboard courage involved where people go after each other in comment sections and things like that. But I do stress the importance of infection control and our responsibility as cystic fibrosis patients in our role to prevent the spread of bacterial infection. And what I mean by that is, you know, life with cystic fibrosis is not easy. I'd be the first to tell you that, and Julia will as well. It's not easy, but there are things that we have to take responsibility and accountability for, and a lot of time that's our health, that's the health of other people around us. You don't want to be putting people at jeopardy. You don't want to be putting people that you don't know at jeopardy by exposing other people to your bacterial infection. You know, the way it sort of works is, you know, it kind of leapfrogs around. It you know, goes from one person to the next person. It grows exponentially. I think these are things that we have to really understand and things that we have to educate ourselves on. You know, unfortunately, these are things that we have to do. You know, we all have our own hopes and dreams, and they may not include understanding the nuances of bacterial infections and the spread of bacterial infection, but that's one of the things that we have to learn to promote the success in our lives with cystic fibrosis.
Well, I think perhaps part of their legacy, Katie and Dalton's legacy, is promoting this conversation and a greater understanding of infection control. And I think it's our responsibility as CF patients and family members to now fully grasp the crucial aspect of infection control and move forward and respect those guidelines.
Yes, exactly. Now, remember, you can always follow along with our podcast via my YouTube channel. I think Julia uses YouTube channel. She sometimes puts stuff up on there too. GunnarSias.com, JuliaRay.com. Remember, Julia spells her name kind of weird. It's Julia Ray, R-A-E. And then if you want to see us podcast about something specific, or you want to even comment on what we've been podcasting about, remember, you can always send me an email at gunnersblog@assiasin.org. I'll put that in the little write-up here. You can also find that on my website. You can email Julia at Julia's email address, which is
JuliaRay@JuliaRay.com. Super original.
Yes, the most original email address in the history of the world. Or you can send either of us a message on Facebook. You know, this conversation started with us talking about the connection of cystic fibrosis patients on Facebook. So I think it's important to really exercise that. You know, I've received dozens of messages since I've written the blog last week and since our last podcast 2 weeks ago. Those are really great. I love responding, and I do respond. You know, whether you're going to go after me and criticize me, I'll still respond. Or you can agree with me, and you can ask me how my day's going. I'll ask how your day's going. That's the way this goes. We're all in this together. So this is Gunnar Sison signing off. Julia, why don't you say something here? Just say goodbye, at least.
Yeah. Bye, everyone. Thanks for listening.
All right.